Friday, everybody, and welcome to Minute 30 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob.
I'm Tom.
And joining us once again to finish off this week is Justin from Stinker Madness.
I am so glad that I got to this opportunity this week. It's been a lot of fun, guys.
The opportunity to get to Friday?
Yeah. Oh, it's fun, but this whole week has been fun. I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay, that's good, because we've had guests that were stuck in Tom's basement for the whole week. So, you know, you actually did well with that. You didn't get sent to the basement, to the Jake Hewitt Memorial Basement.
Not stuck in the gulag.
Not this time.
No, instead you're stuck Stalag Luft 3.
Right.
All right, well, episode minute 30, which, again, for everyone who's keeping track, we're just about a little bit more than a sixth of the way through this movie.
Oh, don't do that to me, Rob.
Hey, come on, it's fun, it's fun. We only another 142 minutes after this one. 2 hours and 22 minutes to go. So, minute 30 starts off with Ashley Pitt greeting Roger once he comes into the compound, and it goes all the way till Roger saying, "Yes, I did." This minute is in contrast to the rest of the minutes from this week. We actually have moved away from being in Von Luger's office, and we actually get this Roger's first look at this compound. Anyone who's never seen this movie before, or the first time that you're watching it, you have no idea that everyone knows Roger or knows who Roger is. You just know that Squadron Leader Bartlett is a troublemaker. That's all you know. You don't really know who he is or what he's doing or anything like that. And as soon as he comes in, you know, he's, as we mentioned yesterday, he has this great big smile on his face. And then he's greeted by the naval officer, Ashley Pitt. And I love the first thing that Roger says is, "What's it like here?" And then Ashley Pitt's response is, "It's new. Let's go find you a bed." You know, I mean, we saw a few weeks ago the different discrepancies in the different rooms that people have. You know, you have rooms with 12 people bunking in it, and then you have rooms with one or two. My assumption is obviously, since we know that he's Big X, he's going to get a much classier room with less roommates. You know, he's not going to be delegated to a room with 11 roommates.
So did you, either of you guys notice the look Posen's giving the taller security guard, the taller German guard, while Roger and Pitts are having this conversation?
Of course. I noticed it.
You just see Posen look up. I'm like, wait a minute. He can just tell it's already going to be trouble based off the looks he's giving his counterpart there. Just, why did the Commandant take the handcuffs off? Why didn't we just put this guy in the cooler? This is going to be trouble.
Right, but before he even looks at Starkwitch, I mean, he looks at Roger and Ashley Pitt, and he's looking at them trying to say, okay, what's going on here? Apparently someone knows who this guy is. He's familiar. So, that's true. He does look at him also. He looks at Stagwitz to say, what do we do here? And then the best thing is right after that, they have a close shot of them. And then when they show the wider shot, did either of you notice that actually Posen and Stagwitz are further apart in the wide shot than they are in the close shot?
If you
pay close attention, it's as if one of them moved very quickly between that shot.
Oh, I see it now.
Because they're pretty close together in the close-up, and then the long shot, they're probably, let's say, a foot and a half apart, something like that. But again, we'll need Cavendish to do an actual survey as to how far the two of them are apart from one another.
Well, that wouldn't be accurate.
It wouldn't be accurate, but it would give us a guesstimation, you know. Hmm. So then Ashley Pitt walks across the compound, taking Roger over to the barracks. And as I mentioned numerous times, I still find it really funny that you only have people walking in ones or twos. You know, you have characters walking by themselves or walking with one someone else. It makes you wonder if they gave all the extras rules and said, okay, you're only supposed to walk with one other person. Find a buddy and stick with them the entire time, and just do a circular route around the camp.
That wouldn't surprise me at all if it's just like, okay, you two are going to take this route whenever we're shooting. You three are going to take this route, and just that way you don't have to worry about extras trying to congregate or whatever. You can just give them their pre-approved route and let them do their thing.
Right. I mean, from what I understand from people who I've discussed or I've spoken to who were extras on movies, they sometimes give you a little bit of free rein as long as you don't interrupt what's going on in the foreground. You know, in the background, you can do whatever you want. You can move around and stuff like that. As long as you make it seem as natural. That this whole idea of pairs or singular characters walking around doesn't apply to the main cast. Because as they're walking across the compound, we get to see a number of the main casts, you know, that are all congregating together. You have Cavendish, and then next to Cavendish, you have Danny and Willie. And then you even see Goff in the background, which, they're all standing a few feet apart of one another, but they're still all looking at Bartlett as he comes around. And then you see Cedric take a look, and then you see Henley standing at the door. And then Ashley Pitt opens the door, and and you see McDonald in the background talking to Haynes. I think he's talking to Haynes. Yeah, right. Haynes is sitting on the stairs, and he's talking to him over there. And I'm going to explain why I mentioned that a little later. And then they walk into the barracks, and then everyone just goes back to normal. You know, as they watch them go into the barracks. Right. Oh, and right. I mentioned Cavendish also was there. Yeah, yep. I think I did. Right. So Cavendish was there too. And then you the next scene it cuts, and then you get to see him. You see Ramsey in his room, just standing up and looking around, which is in and of itself interesting because here you have someone who we know is wounded, has a bad leg. So you'd think that when he's not doing something that he needs to do standing up, he's sitting down, and he's in his room standing up. Maybe because someone mentioned to him already that Roger's coming in. Don't know.
I'm going to go with the fact that Ramsey's not actually injured. He's actually got a sword cane, and the Nazis just never bothered to check it. So he's just playing up the limb to keep his sword handy.
Okay, well, I can counter that. It's a nice idea, but unfortunately it's not true. The character that he's based on, Matt, actually injured himself when his plane crashed, and that's the reason why he wasn't able to be a part of any escape attempts. Not because he was the highest ranking officer, but because he was actually injured. So James Donald, the actor who plays Ramsey, isn't injured. You can easily tell that obviously the character itself is supposed to be injured. So, but nice try, Tom. Nice try.
The sword cane sounds like more fun.
I didn't say that it's not fun. I think it's very fun, and I think it makes a lot of sense. But I think he would have used it beforehand if he's in a prison camp for 3 years. Or maybe he has a sword cane and he actually stabbed himself in the leg at one point, and that's what injured him.
There we go.
The irony.
Best of both worlds, you know.
We're going to have to call Alanis Morissette. We've got another ironic four.
Yeah, and I mean, you see his room is pretty sparse. He's got a closet in there. He's got a heater. He has, it's either a bed or a desk, I'm not sure, that has his briefcase on it, which we saw when he and Mac first arrived a few weeks ago when we discussed it. So he has the briefcase just sitting there on the side also. And he's got something hanging on the wall. Maybe it's his hat. Maybe it's he's somewhat blocking it. So at this point in the minute, you can't see what's there. And he also, later on, we'll see that he has actually a two bookshelves that are completely empty. So I guess he doesn't read like Von Luger, because Von Luger has five books in his office. There are no books in this room.
I mean, Ramsey's only been there for 24 minutes at this point, less if you count the time he had to spend in Von Luger's office. He just hasn't even gotten set up yet.
That's possible. That is possible. But based on the dialogue here, it makes you wonder about the fact of whether they've already, you know, started unpacking, because most people don't have that much with them. That's first of all. And second of all, you know, the idea is that when Ashley Pitt leaves, he says, I'll go put your bag in your room. Meaning, just a few seconds ago, he said, we'll go find you a room, find you a bed. And now he already says that your bag is in your room. So that's an interesting way of looking at it. You know, how quickly were they? But maybe during the cut, when they were coming into the office, coming into there, he pointed into a room and said, okay, Roger, this is going to be your room. How's that for an explanation?
Kicked out four guys that were sharing that room. Now they're 12 guys in another room, so Bartlett can have his own.
I was going to say that, or he just drops him off and says, I'm going to go figure out which room to put you in and put your stuff in. I'll come get you at the end of it and show you where your stuff is, but it'll be there.
Right, but he says, I'm going to put it in your room. That's the essential word here is your. Meaning, I already know where your room is. You don't, but I do. You'll find out in a little while. And then Bartlett and Ramsey begin a conversation with Bartlett saying that they've been seeing old friends. He says, great seeing old friends. And he says, well, as can be expected. And then he says they wanted to have put out a committee for you. Which is pretty interesting. Again, that all these, as we just said, everyone's here 20 minutes, and Bartlett shows up, and everyone wants to throw a party. With what? With what? I don't know. But as Tom and I know, they have a guitar and a trombone, so they can start.
Yeah, that gets the semblance of a rock group and a marching band. Somehow blend those together and. There's probably some tea somewhere in someone's pack.
It's very possible. And then at that point, that's when Roger says, I saw Willie and Valinsky with Mac on my way in. Now, as we just pointed out when they were walking in, Mac is nowhere near Danny and Willie. So it's funny that he says he saw them together. You know, that's who he saw. He pointed out. Maybe, I mean, again, for someone who hasn't seen the movie, they can think that someone else is Mac. But we all know who McDonald is. So I just thought it was really funny that they mentioned that discrepancy here. And Ramsey's retort is, well, we have a lot of old friends here. But then he says something very interesting. He says, it's a new camp. They have expert guards. They're the elite. Now, come on. We saw how all these guards up in the towers, none of them are ever near their guns, except for the moment when they shoot at hilts, which, again, It's pretty strange. I mean, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but it's pretty strange to start shooting into the camp. You know, maybe because he's the elite, maybe he was a sniper.
I mean, it's just propaganda.
True. Maybe Ramsey is able to look at the different uniforms and know that the uniforms of the Luftwaffe guards in the camp are. From some special forces unit in the German Luftwaffe, I don't know.
Oh no, I guess I was getting more of, you go somewhere guarded by Marines, the Marine propaganda machine has led the entire world to believe that it is one of the most elite fighting forces in the world, and that may or may not actually be true. It's probably just a bunch of guys who irritated someone along the way and got sent out to guard this.
In 1943, the propaganda was word of mouth. There was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, and there were no commercials telling you to be all that you can be. I know that's the Army. Semper Fi.
Yes, the Marine got to slay dragons.
What's the Marine slogan for the commercials?
There's not really one. They just have the one where they have the slang of the dragon as a commercial.
All right, so I still remember the "Be All You Can Be."
Yeah,
so that, you know, from the 80s and 90s, that was what they did back then. So, you know, I guess that it wasn't the commercials that got you, the guy that recruited you.
No.
And then the conversation between the two of them continues with two more lines, and Ramsey says, "So, did you meet the commandant?" Which, again, it's pretty interesting to ask that type of question, because on the one hand, not every prisoner was brought into the commandant to meet. So why would he think that Bartlett was taken to the commandant unless someone mentioned to him that he was actually brought into the to Von Luger's office. I mean, he must have been getting some sort of message along the way from everyone, from anyone in the compound.
I personally think that, yes, fill in some blanks here, but the way that Ashley Pitt approaches him the first time he sees him, it's not like, Bartlett, holy crap, man, what are you doing here? I can't believe it's you. He has already, it seems to me, when he sees them come in, he sees Bartlett gets out, he's like, it's Bartlett, I got to go tell Captain Ramsey. And so there's a whole exchange while Bartlett's in the Commandant's office, and by the time Ashley Pitt comes out, he's already prepped and ready to see his old friend, and that's why their conversation's so brief. Hey, buddy, what's this place like? That's okay. Come on over here. I got somebody to talk to you.
Yeah, that's true. Because Ashley Pitt, you know, he calls Ramsey the old man.
Right.
I'll inform the old man. Right. Okay. No, that makes sense. Obviously, you know, with any type of movie, you have to be able to fill in the blanks of what's going on in with other people while a scene is going on somewhere else, because their lives don't just stop. So yeah, the book doesn't really mention this scene, so it's not really a mention here, and the script also doesn't really mention anything about it. I mean, they actually have a long conversation between the two of them.
Between Ramsey and Roger?
No, the script goes on for a few pages between the conversation, but their conversation, obviously, you know, we'll discuss part of that next week. Right. It mentions that Bartlett wearily approaches under heavy guard. Strachwitz watches as he's moving along towards the group. The group makes no action, makes no reaction. Some turn away, some watch casually. As Bartlett approaches closer, Ashley Pitt reacts to his gauntness. He comes through the gate. Ashley Pitt wanders up. So Ashley Pitt then casually says, "Hello, Cyril." Cyril. I guess they changed the name of there too. "You'll be in 104. I'll show you." And then Bartlett casually says, "Thanks." They exit, and Strachwitz stares after them. And then the next thing, they show them in Ramsey's room. And then they show that Ramsey's waiting anxiously. And then there's a knock on the door. He says, "Come in." And then Bartlett enters along with Ashley Pitt, who smiles, leaving the two men alone. Bartlett says, "Hello, sir." "Hello, Cyril." I guess they ripped the script, they decided to actually go with the real name of Roger for Roger Bushell. Then it continues and says, between them, there's enormous camaraderie, enormous respect, but held right down. So then Ramsey says, "Looks like you've had a rough time." Bartlett says, "The Gestapo wanted to find out who helped me to the border. God, I only had 100 yards to go." Ramsey, after a pause, "The fellows wanted to put up a welcome committee. That's for later. Lots of your old friends here." "Oh, who?" "Danny Valinsky, Willie Dix, Ashley Pitt, the Artful Dodger." Bartlett, "Old Merivale? Hasn't he made it yet?" "Not yet." And then Bartlett says, looks around the camp. "How long have you been here?" "Arrived today. New camp. Expert guards. The elite." He turns back to the teapot, pours. From time to time, he glances perturbed at Bartlett, who sits staring into space, lost in thought.
So, here, just to be clear, Richard Attenborough is supposed to be Gaunt in this script, because of the words I would use to describe Attenborough, that's not one of them.
Correct.
Okay, and yeah, if it was more Gaunt, then I can see a lot more of the torture of the... Just things start falling into place in my mind a little more if they had thought of him as more Gaunt.
Right. I mean, obviously, with these type of movies, when you're dealing with prisoners in POW camps or prisoners in concentration camps, I mean, there's a limit to what you can ask of the actors in order to try to get in to the movie. You're not going to say to them, okay, go on a starvation diet. You know, not everyone's Christian Bale, right, where they're going to do something like that. Yeah, I mean, also Attenborough himself was in the Air Force during World War II. So I guess he sort of knew how he's supposed to act.
Right, he was.
He wasn't even the first choice for this role.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He was actually second.
Behind who?
trying to remember. Richard Harris. Hmm. Richard Harris was originally supposed to be. And here, this is interesting. According said that once he started establishing himself as a director, he only returned to acting once when he was in Jurassic Park. For a long time, he didn't. He stayed away from acting, and he said he would only act again if he was allowed to replace Harris again. And that was because he wanted the part of Dumbledore after Harris died. Interesting.
Interesting Harry Potter series.
Yeah. There's always connections to Harry Potter. You just think of any British actor and there's some sort of connection somewhere along the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Between that and, you know, Star Wars, there's a British actor in one of the two series.
You have probably actors that have been in both.
Well, yes, there's that too. But.
You know, besides Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg wasn't, I'm sorry, I meant with Star Trek. Star Trek and Star Wars, Simon Pegg was in, he wasn't in Harry Potter. Oops. I'm sure there's someone who's been in Harry Potter, and we'll have to go listen to the Harry Potter minute by minute to find out who was, what the connections are with Star Wars. All right, do you have anything else to say about this minute?
Not about this one.
Well, I just want to follow up from what I said yesterday about after the last person Bartlett sees from the SS, and the first person he sees in this scene is Ashley Pitt. There is a significant scene with the three of them later in the movie, and basically causes, because of Bartlett's relationship with this with the SS guy whose name I've already forgotten.
Causes
Ashley Pitt to sacrifice himself, fall on the grenade, the proverbial grenade, as it were, to save Bartlett. So I think that it's an interesting choice that the first person he sees is Ashley Pitt in this camp. So after just seeing Coon.
Right. Okay. There's something to that. That's interesting to think about. I actually forgot that it was Kuhn, because for me, all the Nazis, all the Gestapo look alike to me.
Right.
But you're definitely right about that. Preston also shows up later, much later, with Cavendish.
Yeah.
As we constantly keep mentioning.
So I just want to say one last thing, my general thoughts about this movie that I learned the last time I watched it, because it is a fun adventure with some cool set pieces and some, you know, a heisty feel to it. But the thing that really stuck with me the last time was that I think it's Ramsey that says this, is that when he tells the Commandant that it's their job to escape. To try to escape. They can't just sit on their hands waiting for the war to end, because as long as they're still out trying to escape, they're taking resources away from the German army to go and capture them and put them back into camp. So it frees up, you know, other opportunities for the Allies to work on the Germans. Even though it's a great personal risk to these POWs, as we learn throughout the movie, you know, a lot of them don't make it, all because they tried to escape, and it's their job to escape. So even though they've already been captured, it's not their job isn't over for the Allies to win this war. I thought that was something I didn't pick up on the first few times, even though it might lead to their death. They still have to get off their hands and bust their butt and keep working to win this war.
Right. It goes back to the whole idea of hope. You know, mm-hmm. You have that in Shawshank, and you have that in a lot of, in the Bridge on the River Kwai. They mentioned that also. You know that when you're stuck in a place in despair, the only thing that can save you is the feeling that you have hope, that you can somehow get out, and that you're gonna make it out, and you have to dream about getting out, and that's what these characters all did, and you know, thankfully they're able to do it together. I looked ahead to see what minute that the meeting between Ashley Pitt and Kuhn is, and it's actually in minute 142, which surprisingly, that's what I mentioned at the beginning of today's episode, that we have 142 episodes to go. So I found that to be a very interesting coincidence.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Justin, we want to once again thank you for joining us this week. It's been a lot of fun. Hope you enjoyed it also.
Good.
All right. Do you have anything you want to plug anything? You can plug new things if you want this week, today.
They have some new things. If somebody can get me some new things to plug, I would be appreciative of that. Just go ahead and email me, talk@stinkermadness.com, or listen to our podcast at www.stinkermadness.com, and let me know what those new things are that I can delve into. I'll look into it.
All right. Sounds like fun. So anyone can go to wherever you get your podcasts and review and subscribe to the Great Escape Minute. You can contact us by going to our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. You can send us, you can tweet us at Great Escape MXM. You can send us an email to thegreatminute@gmail.com, or you can join our Facebook group, The Cooler. Send us what you think about the show, what you think about the episodes so far, what you're looking forward to in the future, everything like that. So I want to wish you all a great weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday. Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.